All glories to Srila Prabhupada. On the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada, we are duty bound to speak on his glories. Of course, it is not only our duty. If after all these years we're only doing it as a matter of duty, then that is lamentable. Fine, give them a fine. I told in Bahrain they have this system of fining in Dubai. They thought it was a good idea. They'll adopt that also. If the cell phone goes off. So we are to speak in glorification of Srila Prabhupada. Who will appreciate this? What's this for?
Some of this word doesn't
work. It's working okay. Who will appreciate hearing about Srila Prabhupada? Well, many proponents of Hinduism, they appreciate that Prabhupada has revived Hinduism. But actually, only those persons who have received Prabhupada's gifts can appreciate what he has given. Others cannot. To the extent that we are opening ourselves to take what Prabhupada is giving us, to that extent we can begin to appreciate what Prabhupada, who Prabhupada is, why he is so great, why he should be glorified. Those who are advancing in Krishna consciousness, they can appreciate how wonderful is this gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us. I distinctly have that experience that my appreciation of Prabhupada, of course it's subjective, but my appreciation of Prabhupada, certainly I felt it in my own case, it increased after Prabhupada left. It wasn't that I didn't appreciate. It's probably better not to put this songbook where people put their backsides also. It wasn't that there was not appreciation of Prabhupada, but I found that increased after Srila Prabhupada left. So devotees can appreciate. Non-devotees, they cannot understand, or they can only understand in a superficial way. Just like I was saying, so Hindu leaders, they may offer laudations to Srila Prabhupada. Oh, that's good, that's a general appreciation. But again, those can actually appreciate who have taken Prabhupada's instructions, which if we actually take Prabhupada's instructions, then they change our lives. Our life will not be the same. It's not just a matter of becoming a vegetarian, but it means a whole completely different outlook on life. Many people in India those who knew that, the few people who knew that Bhaktivedanta Swami was going to the West to preach Krishna consciousness thought that it wasn't possible to do so. And the many who appreciated him coming back with his dancing white elephants, they thought this is, they were surprised because they thought, how come Westerners become vegetarians and devotees of Krishna? So some appreciation is there that Prabhupada has changed them. But to the, what is the meaning of that? The extent to which Prabhupada has changed the lives of those who have taken his message, that can be again appreciated by those whose lives have been changed by that. And it's not just a matter of taking up moral principles or of changing one's religion, but it means a complete change of consciousness, of instead of seeing oneself as the center of the universe and believing in a God who arranges for our sense gratification in this life and in future also, but rather understanding ourselves as the unconditional servants of Krishna. And very much so when Prabhupada was present among us, the inspiration to pursue that goal of giving up all material desires, to be situated in what we'd heard from Prabhupada was the constitutional position of the jiva, to be the unconditional servant of Krishna. That inspiration came from Prabhupada, his own unconditional service to Krishna. Prabhupada, it wasn't just a matter of speaking, but he was clearly living that and was imparting that to others. So therefore we feel the separation. Why is this called Viraha Mahotsav, or a festival of separation? Prabhupada passed away, but we know that a Vaishnav doesn't die. No one dies. But particularly of, why do we say then that a Vaishnav does not die? Why do we stress that? He reasons ill who tells that Vaishnavs die when thou art living still in sound. A Vaishnav dies to live, and living tries to spread the holy name around. So, what is the difference between a Vaishnav's living, not dying, and that of a non-devotee? The difference is that with the passing away of a non-devotee, that identity, that dies. The soul doesn't die, but the body dies. And with the death of the body, that identification, that dies, that no longer exists. Napoleon died, Mahatma Gandhi died, and so many non-famous people die every day. And it's finished. That Mahatma Gandhi will not, that person is gone. In the sense that, of course, he'll go to another body. But that particular person, that particular role, is finished. But with a Vaishnav, he continues. Wherever he goes, he may take birth in this material world, or he may go directly to the spiritual world according to Krishna's wish. But he goes on serving Krishna. So not only does the soul continue to exist, but he continues to execute the same function in this life and another life. And another way he doesn't die is that his words, his teachings, they are always relevant. So in this way also he doesn't die. What? They're always relevant and they're always true. So what Napoleon said and did, it's over, it's finished. Mahatma Gandhi had many, gonna make a phone call now? Mahatma Gandhi had many noble ideas, but he wasn't a perfect person. So his ideas, they cannot last. But what a pure devotee says is always relevant. It's always true, because what he says is in direct relationship with Krishna. We see Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. It's always relevant. It's as relevant now as when Krishna spoke it 5,000 years ago, or even many millions of years ago. Because it is Amritavani. It is instruction which is not subject to death. It never dies. Of course, the great acharyas, they come and they present the message of Krishna. They present the message of Shastra according to the particular time and place and circumstances that they operate in. So it may appear that there is a difference between different acharyas. Some of Prabhupada's godbrothers criticized him that, well, you're not teaching exactly the same way as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But naturally he didn't, because the situation he was preaching in the West was different. The culture was different. The level of understanding of the people was different. So Prabhupada, actually he didn't teach anything different. But the manner of presentation was different. And he adjusted some principles, just like allowing women to live in the ashram. That was not traditionally done. It was not done in the Gauriya Mat. But Prabhupada allowed that. Why? Because he operated on the principle of smartavya satatang vishnu vismartavya na jatu chit sarva vidhi nishedasya etaya eva kinkaraha. That all the rules and regulations are meant to serve the principles of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. So that's true. As a general principle, women do not live in the ashram, because women have a different social role, is one thing. They are to be protected in their childhood by their fathers, after marriage by their husbands, and in old age by their elder, grown-up sons. And also, women don't live in ashrams because ashrams are meant for spiritual advancement, and the quest for spiritual advancement is disturbed when men and women come into contact, and then the tendency is that they become mutually attracted to each other, and then the focus on spiritual advancement becomes distorted. So yes, it's an important principle that men and women have different social roles, and especially those for whom the central focus of their lives is spiritual advancement, then particularly they should rigidly follow this principle of being somewhat separate from women. So Prabhupada, he allowed women to live in the ashrams. And you may think, well, that's breaking a principle. In one sense, yes, but Prabhupada did it to serve the principle of giving people the opportunity to think of Krishna and never forget Krishna. Prabhupada saw that in the Western countries there were so many young women who were wanting to serve Krishna, but it's a different social scene to the Western, to India, that women they're not protected. There's no idea of that they're free. So if they're to live within the broader society, without, then it would not be possible or be very difficult for them to practice Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada made an allowance. But everything he did was to help people to come to Krishna consciousness. So some people, not understanding this, they criticize Prabhupada. But those who have got a broader understanding, they recognize that, well, you may say that Prabhupada, he didn't do this and he didn't do that, but look what he did. He spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And actually at a very high level. I mean, there are many devotees in India, even before Prabhupada went to the West. There are so many devotees in India, but very few of them had any idea of these four regulative principles. No tea or coffee, even no pan. So, or even the philosophical understanding that everything is meant to be done for the pleasure of Krishna. So Prabhupada infused his followers with life, and he actually set a very high standard. Like some people say, I've heard someone said, well, in ISKCON there's actually one of Prabhupada's own disciples. He became a big scholar. He was learning Sanskrit and helping with the production of the Bhagavatam. And he came to the conclusion that in ISKCON there's no bhajan. There's not enough bhajan. We should all chant 64 rounds and do bhajan all day. But then where's the preaching? That's one thing. Another thing that Prabhupada did give, if we follow Prabhupada's program, those who are living in the ashrams, I do when I'm in India, or generally, that we start off 4:30 in the morning, Mangal Aarti, and the morning program goes through till 9 o'clock. So we have right there 4.5 hours at the beginning of the day of pure sadhana. And then again in the evening, of course, we often have preaching programs, but otherwise we have another 2 hours in the evening. So right there we have, 6 hours of solid sadhana every day. Plus we're supposed to read Prabhupada's books 1 to 2 hours every day. So Prabhupada gave a program of vigorous preaching and intense sadhana and regulated principles. And it's actually a very, very intense program. And those of you here in Dubai who are attempting to follow that, even in truncated form, that means most of you try to, you have those who are initiated have the vow to chant 16 rounds a day. But to do that, it's quite intense, isn't it? Plus preaching and studying Prabhupada's books. So Prabhupada gave a very high level of Krishna consciousness in every way, in terms of the program we're supposed to follow, in terms of the principles we're supposed to follow, in terms of the philosophy. Prabhupada was absolutely uncompromising. Prabhupada was prepared to make some adjustments, just like I gave the example. Women can live in the ashram. Not many, actually. You won't find there's much difference between the life of Krishna consciousness that Prabhupada gave in the West and that which is traditionally followed in India. So he made some adjustments. He allowed that devotees for preaching, they could dress. They don't always have to dress in Vaishnav dress. They can dress in pant and shirt, suit, if they're doing scientific preaching or distributing Prabhupada's books in the Western countries. So Prabhupada made some allowances, some adjustments, but in the philosophy he was not at all compromising. He never said that, well, you can worship different demigods and worship Krishna and it's all okay, it's all the same, and that you can follow any philosophy as you that you like, or you chant 16 rounds. No, he was very strong. He didn't tolerate any philosophical deviation. In this way, he was exactly following in the footsteps of his own Gurudev, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. who is Rupa Anuga Virudha Pasiddhanta Dvanta Hari, he who took away the misconceptions based on the misconceptions which are not properly following in the line of Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was very strong on this. He was very strongly against Mayavad, Sahajiyaism, anything except pure devotion, surrender to Krishna. He didn't tolerate that. In his books, they're very clear, very strong. It's aggressive. Practically, you could say that Prabhupada's preaching style is aggressive. Prabhupada used to call it chopping technique. He said, my Gurudev, he preached with a chopping technique. And some people say, oh, that's not very good. But who are they to say what's good and what's not good? Prabhupada preached like this. He didn't make compromises. He was tolerant with devotees who were trying to be Krishna conscious but were weak. He appreciated the effort in anyone to come forward and be Krishna conscious, and he encouraged that. He always used to say, fan the spark. If there's a little spark, if you fan it, it used to be a common thing in India. People would make the fire for cooking. Nowadays you don't know, it's all gas. But it was a common thing. You just start the fire, then you have to fan it, not blow it. Fan it. And then the fire comes up. So Prabhupada used to say, fan the spark. If there's a little interest in Krishna consciousness, try and encourage that. So he would encourage people to come up to the proper standard. And he was often very strong with his disciples, because once someone's a disciple, they're duty bound. By taking initiation, they make a contract to be 100% committed. So Prabhupada was often very strong with his disciples, that why aren't you following properly? Why this mistake? Even some small mistake, Prabhupada was often very cutting. But on the other hand, he was often also very accommodating. That someone's trying, all right, encourage them, come up. So, I was saying that those who can appreciate Prabhupada, who are those who have entered into the spirit of his teachings. We cannot appreciate Prabhupada without... How will we appreciate him? We'll appreciate him for what he's giving. Who are appreciated in the world? Sport stars. As we were coming, we were walking here. We walked past a cafe, and there was a TV, and we saw people standing outside. So we guessed before we came, and we saw and we looked in. There's a crowd gathered to see the TV. There's a cricket match going on. So certain persons are appreciated. Sunil Tendulkar, Rahul Dravid, is it? Sorry. Sunil Gavaskar, okay. Got a little mixed up there. Rahul Dravid, okay, I got that one right. So they're appreciated for what they do. Sachin's appreciated for making runs. What Rahul does, I don't know. What is he, a bowler, batsman? Or? Huh? He's a batsman, okay. Not as good as Sachin. So they're appreciated for what they do. Although in the case of the two persons I just mentioned, it's completely useless. someone is appreciated. Mother Teresa was appreciated for her great contributions in taking dying people off the street after they'd been living on the street all their lives, taking dying people off the street and letting them die in her home. So she was appreciated for her great contribution in helping people. Exactly what the contribution is, I can't understand, but anyway, people seem to think that she made a great contribution to human society. Members of the Congress Party appreciate Sonia Gandhi for, fill in the blank yourself. So according to people's interest or what they consider is important, they give importance to various persons. Among the scientific community, Stephen Hawking is considered. There's one purport, Prabhupada talks about this, Mahajans. Mahajana yena gato sapanta. He says that for the demons and rakshasas, Ravana and Hiranyakashipu, they are Mahajans. For the scientists, Einstein is a Mahajan. So everyone is following, everyone has some person who they look up to. They laud, and L-A-U-D, laud means they praise. They try to emulate. They think, oh, this person is very important. But 2 years ago, when I was in England, I saw quite a lot of people walking around with like almost shaved head like this and a big clump of hair at the back. I thought, oh, that's interesting. Looks like a Hare Krishna devotee. Why are they doing like that? And I was told that David Beckham, who is a football star, has this hairstyle. So therefore they are doing. So because he is doing, they are doing. So we tend to follow those who we laud. So those who appreciate batting, they laud Sachin Tendulkar and Rahul Dravid. And those who appreciate science, they appreciate Stephen Hawking. Those who and there are so many examples. Those who appreciate what is called jihadi, those who think this is very good, then they idolize this bin Laden. So according to what we consider important, we appreciate persons who are experts, leaders in the field in that regard. So those who have given importance to Krishna consciousness and can appreciate what Srila Prabhupada has done, they will want to glorify Prabhupada, which is, well, it's a little disappointing. The turnout's small today. It should actually be full house. Because it should be that those who are coming to Krishna consciousness under the shelter of Prabhupada's lotus feet, they should recognize what an important festival this is. That it's, from my side, I can say it's a little disappointing that so few devotees have turned out. Maybe next time you have to stress this more. All around in our society, we have to stress what is the importance of Srila Prabhupada. What does it mean to be a follower of Srila Prabhupada? Jayadvaita Swami wrote, typical of Jayadvaita Swami, brief, but very much to the point, an essay, Vyasa Puja offering a few years ago. I included that in my book, my memories of Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada is not an ordinary guru. No guru is ordinary. But nevertheless, Prabhupada, I spoke on this last night in Bahrain actually, the whole lecture was about that. What does it mean that Prabhupada is not an ordinary guru? What is his Prabhupada was especially empowered to give Krishna to others. He gave Krishna. He made people who were with no qualification Krishna conscious. And also in Bahrain, I gave two lectures yesterday, I also spoke on how practically in India Krishna consciousness was on the way out before Prabhupada revived it. Temples were closing down. There were no new temples. Very few new temples were being built. Of any, I mean, not only Krishna, but all Hindu temples. It was in Bangladesh, the Hindus there were, many times they told us that we are being told that Hinduism is a dying religion, so you should convert. And many were converting. So Prabhupada, he, in India also, he revived Krishna consciousness. That Govinda Maharaj was saying that, he was saying, and I remember also that we first did Govardhan Parikrama. There was a narrow walking trail around Govardhan. Just a rough path. Because hardly, not many people did Govardhan Parikrama. Now there's a paka road all around Govardhan, and it's all getting built up all the way around. And no, it wasn't Govinda Maharaj who was saying that. It was Keshav Bharati Maharaj, who lives there, who's based there. See, one of our god brothers. So he was saying that when he asks the local people, why is it that so many people are coming throughout Kartik? Oh, actually, the biggest crowd is on Guru Purnima, Sanatan Goswami's disappearance day, because the Brijbasis, they particularly have affection for Sanatan Goswami, even now. So, but not only from the Vrindavan area, but from all around, from MP, UP, Rajasthan, Gujarat, so many people come that road they've made, it's no longer a little track, they made a road that it's completely full of people, packed with moving people for 3 days and nights non-stop. Lakhs and lakhs of people are coming. So Keshav Bharati Maharaj, he was asking, how is it that Govardhan has become so popular? And they all say, because of your Guru Maharaj. He has promoted Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, like I say, Govardhan, just a few people were coming. There was no need of a road. It was just a dirt track for a few people. Now, so many people are coming. So many people are coming to Vrindavan. Vrindavan was just a small little town that ISKCON's temple at Ramanreti was not really in Vrindavan. Ramanreti, we would walk from Ramanreti to Loy Bazaar, and in between there's fields. It was open. Now it's all built up, and even far be, if you come from the other direction, Loy Bazaar to Krishna Balaram Temple, and keep on going for a long distance, it's all built up now. Prabhupada revived Krishna consciousness in India, which was dying. I gave that illustrated weekly. That was all the educated people in India used to read illustrated weekly. So, Hare Krishna. So, that had the front cover, this was about 1979, they had a picture of the Western devotees offering aarti in Krishna Balaram temple. Prabhupada actually said that the aartis they should have the Western devotees offering. So let people come and see, because especially in Vrindavan, and many people said the Westerners, they can't be Brahmins, they can't worship the deity. Prabhupada said, make sure the Western devotees are there so that everyone can see they are Brahmanas. So they're offering the aarti. So there was a picture of showing Western devotees offering the aarti, and they on the front page, and the title was given Saviors of Hinduism. So actually it's a fact in India also that Prabhupada revived Krishna consciousness. He spread it all over the world. Krishna bhakti nite dite dhare mahashakti. He was especially empowered to receive Krishna consciousness and give it to others. You know, you probably know that story of Saraswati, the little girl who Prabhupada gave. There was the daughter of Shyamasundara and Malati, two of Prabhupada's early leading disciples. So Prabhupada had given her a little statuette of Krishna, and she was very attached to that. She used to keep it with her always. And then one time she put it down, and Prabhupada hid it, kept it with him. And then she looked and said, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" And she couldn't find, she was looking everywhere. "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" And devotees, they were trying to give her a clue that Saraswati, who has got Krishna? And she was saying, who's got? Prabhupada has got Krishna. Yes, then Prabhupada gave. So it was like a little game Prabhupada was playing with a little baby, but it, on a much deeper level, it indicated that Prabhupada is giving us Krishna. He's giving everyone Krishna. So today is Prabhupada's disappearance day, and as I started this lecture by saying that Vaishnavas, they don't actually die, they continue to live in their words. As Prabhupada himself was asked that what will happen to this movement when you die? Journalist. They have no etiquette. You don't ask. You don't address. You don't say that a Vaishnava dies. That's not correct. It's not. We don't say it's the today is the anniversary of someone's death. We don't say like that. That's improper to say like that. Tirobhav Titi, Tirobhav Mahotsav. Someday you'll see they'll put 1896 to 1977, which they'll show people's lives. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 1486 to 1515, whatever it is. So they like, because they think that the person begins at this date and ends at that date. But actually there's no question of death for a Vaishnava. Tirobhav. His passing away from our mortal vision. So a Vaishnav does not die, but we say the English word is given disappear. That means that he's no longer visible to our eyes, but yes, so that reporter, that journalist was asking that what will happen to this moon when you die. Prabhupada said, "I will never die, I will live forever in my books. And you can utilize." So, Prabhupada's disappearance. It's a disappearance to our mortal vision. But if we have the spiritual vision which he imparted to us, then we shall know that he has not disappeared. Of course, there is a difference in function. There's some difference in function between Prabhupada, when he was, what we say, physically present, and now. But he lives forever in his instructions. And as he wrote at the in the very beginning, the dedication of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which he was his own particular offering to his Guru Maharaj, he said, sometimes he said, I'll stop traveling and preaching so I can write these books. He said, I can stop the traveling and preaching, but I cannot stop writing the books because that is my special service to my Guru Maharaj. He continued writing and publishing books, even more important than traveling and preaching. He did both. So in the dedication to the Srimad Bhagavatam, he wrote that dedicated to His Divine Grace Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He lives forever in His Divine instructions and the follower lives with Him. So, has Prabhupada disappeared? Well, he is always with those who follow his instructions. So in one sense, he never disappeared. But he will disappear from our vision if we don't follow his instructions. It's a simple thing to understand. So, Prabhupada is always present with those who follow his instructions. Just like he said, that I went to the Western countries, but I didn't go alone. People ask, how could you go alone? But he said, I never thought I was alone. My spiritual master was always with me. So Prabhupada is with us to the extent that we follow his instructions. Yeyata mang prapadyante tangstathaiva bhajami aham. That's true for Krishna in his reciprocation with the jivas. And that's also true with the spiritual master in his reciprocation with his disciples. In India there's the LIC advertisement. Become an LIC agent. Earn as much as you like. It's up to you. It's an open franchise. You can go out, you can work 20 hours a day and meet many people and get many policies signed up for which you get a commission free. It's all commission basis. Or if you like, you just do it in your spare time, maybe, you know, 6-7 hours a week. It's up to you. So in the same way, I'm just saying this because it's an example that how much do we want to be close to Srila Prabhupada? It's up to us. He's ready to fully accept us. But are we ready to fully accept Him? He is already giving Himself fully to us. But how much are we willing to accept Him? What does it mean to accept Him? It means to accept His instructions. He lives forever in his instructions and the follower lives with him. So we can be with Srila Prabhupada as much as we want to be. Or if we don't want to be, we can forget Prabhupada. Or we can in our imagination convert Prabhupada into something that he isn't. Which is, that happens in all the religious systems of the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, people don't understand in Bengal. They think they can be a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and eat fish. That's a common. Jesus Christ, they think they can be a follower of Jesus Christ and eat meat and drink wine, which Jesus never promoted such things. Historical evidence strongly suggests that Jesus was not a meat eater or a boozer, but that the biblical account has been deliberately changed because certain people wanted to eat meat and drink alcohol in the name of Jesus. So there are many people who claim to be followers of Jesus or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they've actually distorted his teachings so that they just have some idea that he gives us blessings so that we can live a comfortable and happy life in this material world, completely altering what the original teachers teach. That's why when people come, they ask me for blessings. What for? You want to convert me into a machine for fulfilling your material desires? Rather, the blessing, you'll actually be blessed if you follow the instruction. People want very quickly and easily some cheap blessing. But the real blessing we can get from Srila Prabhupada is if we study his books, all the books. We should go through systematically reading the purports, what Prabhupada has to say. Prabhupada promoted so many things. He had so many revolutionary ideas. He stressed so much. Of course, every sadhu must do that. But in an age dedicated to heathenism, he stressed so much the futility of trying to enjoy this material world. In an age where religion has been so much distorted, he stressed so much that real religion means to understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to surrender to him. And he pointed out all the distortions that are going on even in the name of being Krishna conscious, even in the name of some Hinduism. So Prabhupada was very clear and strong. He said, if you want to know me, read my books. So if we want to know Prabhupada, we should read his books. I'm always, as my disciples know, I'm always telling them, read Prabhupada's books. Because I know myself, what is my role as guru? My role as guru is not the same as Prabhupada's role as guru. Because he is Uttam Adhikari Mahabhagavat. So my role as guru is to point that here, Prabhupada has given this. You follow that. So Prabhupada, he wanted that his disciples read his books. So I'm pointing, you read Prabhupada's books. You will benefit from doing, you will get tremendous benefit. And those who are doing so, they can appreciate what a difference there is between not reading and reading. So if we want to know Prabhupada, we should want to know Prabhupada. We shouldn't take it as superficial. Don't take it as something superficial that we have to, that we're in ISKCON and Prabhupada's picture is there. But no, we should want to know Prabhupada, and that we can know him by reading his books carefully, systematically. Then we can know Prabhupada. If we know Prabhupada, then we know Krishna. Because Prabhupada is inseparable from Krishna. He's giving Krishna. So many facets of Prabhupada's teachings, beginning with we're not the body, all the way up to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada had so many programs. He stressed so much on preaching. He also wanted village organization, Vanashram Dharma, cow protection. He had so many programs for preaching, diorama exhibitions, scientific preaching with the Bhaktivedanta Institute. There's so many programs. It's not possible that any one person can take up all of them. But we should know what is Prabhupada's mission. Please read Srila Prabhupada's books. Those who do so, they will naturally want to glorify Prabhupada. On this day we should all glorify Prabhupada. Every day, every moment, but particularly on this day, some days are set aside particularly for glorification of Srila Prabhupada, just like Govardhan Puja is particularly for remembering Govardhan, worshipping Govardhan. So this day is particularly for remembering and worshipping Srila Prabhupada. It's a great festival, especially in Vrindavan. So many devotees come from all over India, particularly on that day for the Govardhan Puja, followed by Prabhupada's disappearance festival. So let's try to make this a... Maybe next year we could aim to have work on getting a full turnout. And we have to start preaching to the devotees in advance. And if we encourage them to read Prabhupada's books, I think more people will come, because as Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, then read my books. So those who are reading his books will certainly want to take this opportunity to glorify him, because Prabhupada, he came to give Krishna, and he particularly gave Krishna through the Maha Mantra and through his books. And actually, even to chant Hare Krishna, we have to hear about Krishna also. Otherwise, we may be chanting Hare Krishna, we may have so many misconceptions of what we're chanting, why we're chanting, with what attitude we should be chanting. So hearing is essential. Shravana Kirtan. Kirtan is not complete without hearing. So Prabhupada gave his books to present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness so that everyone can understand. We also have to hear, along with reading the books, we have to hear, but reading Prabhupada's books is it's an essential part of our sadhana. We all have to do this. That will gradually, by reading his books again and again, everything will become clear. We may think, well, how can I if you see 18 volume Srimad Bhagavatam, you may think, well, how can I read that? You can read it. People are reading the newspaper every day. If you put together all the newspapers people have read, it's more than the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, no need for the newspaper. You read this Purana, Prabhupada's translation, and purport. Prabhupada said about the Bhagavad Gita, as it is, he said the purports are actually more important than the translations. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? Because actually, we can't properly understand what Krishna is saying without the explanations of the acharyas. And Prabhupada has distilled the essence of what all the acharyas have given. So don't make Prabhupada disappear. Prabhupada's disappearance day means his appearance day. Means it's an opportunity for us to remember Prabhupada and pray that he appear within our hearts. So Prabhupada is always present where devotees are following his instructions. So we should know what Prabhupada's instructions are and follow them very carefully. And if we don't do that, then the danger is that just like we have churchianity instead of Christianity, the church is there, but where is Christ? In 1966 or 67, one local newspaper in New York, they did a report on Prabhupada, Swamiji, and they wrote that Swamiji is teaching that God is not dead, because there was a prominent philosophy that God is dead. So Swamiji is teaching that God is not dead, although he seems to have left the church. He can't be found in the church. So don't make Prabhupada disappear. Don't convert him into just a picture that we offer some incense to. That should be done. But the tendency of the conditioned soul is to take the genuine Mahajan spiritual teachers and dilute or pervert their teachings according to our own sense gratificatory desires. To take his instructions out of context, to change it this way and that way, so that it's not actually what he gave. So you have to be very careful to keep Prabhupada's instructions alive by very carefully. First of all, knowing what they are. We can't know what they are unless we read his books. And then following them without any dilution or perversion. Otherwise, we are in the name of following Prabhupada, not following Prabhupada. If we follow him, why should we follow Prabhupada? Because Prabhupada is taking us to Krishna. If we want Krishna, then we should follow Prabhupada. Of course, that means we should follow under the guidance of those who know Prabhupada, that is the Parampara system. But as I was saying, Prabhupada is not an ordinary guru. Guru is never ordinary, but Prabhupada's position is very special. And one becomes special by following Prabhupada, because what Prabhupada came to give is extraordinary. Just like why I hear when I come to Dubai, you're all so kind to me, give me such nice treatment. Why is that? Why should that be? This body has got two hands and two legs and one head. I just saw a photo of myself from the back this evening. It's balding. I wasn't aware of that. So the signs are there that this body is won't be there much longer. That's a sign. So why? What is it? Because of the sound of my voice? Is it because of the British passport? Is it because of the style of shoes that I wear? Why the appreciation? I'm not a great batsman or a great scientist or a great welfare worker who picks people off the streets. just before they die and take them somewhere else to die, die comfortably and become known as saint. I don't have any of these things, but jogata bichare kichu nahi pai tomara karunasha. The only reason that you are appreciating me, and it's a great reason, is because of my connection with Prabhupada, that's all. That's all. That's it. 100%, beginning to end. Because I have a connection with Prabhupada. So my only duty is to suggest to you that you have a connection with Prabhupada and give some guidance according to what I've learned from Prabhupada and from my experience in my attempts to follow him. Give some guidance how you can also follow him. And why? Because ekaki ama nahi paibo harinama shankita. What's the name? Krishna she toma, Krishna dite paro, tomara shakati acha. Because just like Saraswati, who has got Krishna? Prabhupada has got Krishna. Prabhupada is giving Krishna. You want to sing? Jayanilo Prema Dhana? Or I can sing? This is the... you like to put that on the screen? Jayanilo Prema Dhana? This is the standard song on the disappearance day of a great Vaishnava. I'll read the translation while it's being found to be put on the screen. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damoda and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna's Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. Yeah, this kirtan is permeated with thick and rich with the mood of viraha bhav. All of the kirtans of Narottam Das, they're all at least almost many that this mood is this mood of intense longing for association and service, very strong in his kirtans. It captures the mood of what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati kriyatam yadi katopi labhyate tatra lolyam apimulyam ekalam janma koti sukritayana labhyate. Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti, if it's being offered, we should by any means take it. And what is the price to purchase? Intense desire. Any other pious activities, even if executed, executed millions of pious activities, executed for millions of lifetimes, can never give Krishna consciousness, only the intense desire to attain it. So this intense desire to attain Krishna is typical of the Padavali or the Vaishnav songs of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. So, Hare Krishna.